Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We are normally joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at this time on Thursdays, talking all things NFL. Charles is in Croatia for the next couple of weeks, so he is not going to have time for us. He's over in Europe.
What if he's trying to go over there and like be discovered as a hooper?
Maybe so. I don't know. He forgot about it last week. We had a nice conversation last week, and he was lobbying to me to get your imaging totally removed from the show last week, and then said, you know what, by next week, let's get that done. Let's get Rex Road totally off the show. And then said, wait a minute, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be in Croatia. So
stabbed me in the back.
Yeah, he was. Man.
Well, I hope he enjoys Croatia. It's that time of year. You got people all over. It's some very nice locales.
Exotic locations. Yeah. Including you this weekend in Omaha, Nebraska. Yes, how excited right. are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm so excited. I get to connect in St. Louis for a 7 a.m. flight Saturday. I mean,
are you then?
Let me tell you what.
So you're flying excited. From St. Louis to Omaha.
The connecting flight.
I thought you, when you first told me, I thought you were going to drive from St. Louis to Omaha. It's like, wow.
It's impressive. No, it's not quite that. But yeah, New York. Stop in Nashville for a second. Omaha,
Nebraska.
There we go.
Tennessee punches their ticket yesterday to the College World Series Finals 7-2 as they take down the Florida State Seminoles. No check swing controversy this time. Probably in the offseason for Florida State, you know, they can hit the ball really well and they mash it pretty good. Probably need to work on a little base running this offseason. Not very good from the Seminoles yesterday from that standpoint. But Tennessee's lineup strikes again. They hang up 7. Another good pitching performance. Some big-time defensive plays. They keep running headfirst into the wall out there in Omaha, which is an interesting strategy. But keep making some big plays in the outfield. And Tennessee 3-0 at the College World Series. It will be the Volunteers and the Aggies coming up in the College World Series final. Texas A&M winning yesterday as well. So an all-SEC final, Tennessee taking on Texas A&M.
Yeah, I guess some of those plays that ends in tears, I guess like at home, they probably just stand like, okay, that's out of here, good. Right? Yep. But they've made some tremendous plays. Yeah, they haven't played great defense the whole time, you know, and that's been a thing this year. I mean, they've got some people who've improved a lot, like Blake Burke, first base. Christian Moore will make a really good play and then, you know, a not great play at second base at times. But I will tell you, I said it Monday, I really wanted Kentucky, Tennessee.
I did too.
Kentucky, Tennessee, I just feel like from a fan perspective, it would have been – and just storyline perspective, like these two – you know, Tennessee was – like Kentucky this year is Tennessee of 2021, you know, kind of like, oh, they're good in baseball? But Kentucky, of course, is the only SEC program that had never – SEC school that had never been to Omaha.
Yep.
And then my next choice would have been Tennessee, Florida, because – just again, the fan base aspect there, the rivalry, the football rivalry there. You take it to baseball, and Florida, of course, is incredible, a historical program. But we'll settle for this. Texas A&M is really good.
Yep,
I mean that's the thing. They are loaded. They're really good, and this is it's the two best teams in the SEC that did not have a series this year, so they get to go ahead and duke it out for the national championship now.
Yep, the SEC 5-0 against the ACC in Omaha. So in what was a basically like an SEC-ACC challenge at Omaha, not much of a challenge, the SEC wiping the floor with the ACC, and now it's Tennessee and Texas A&M coming up in the championship game. If you're interested, and I think this is just for, I guess, the game Saturday, Tennessee is the favorite against Texas A&M. So they're at minus – for the game, 158. I believe for the series, Tennessee is the betting favorite on FanDuel Sportsbook at minus 176. So the Vols, as the number one overall seed, the favorite. And, you know, if they pull this off, we've talked about this heading into it, it has not affected them to this point, but no number one overall seed has won the title since 1999. So if Tennessee can finish the job, making some history in more ways than one, obviously their own program history and Vitello getting there and all that stuff. But if they win, they'll be the first number one overall seed to do so since Y2K. So there's that to think about, too.
That's right. Yeah, and that was, you know, that was the first year of this format.
Yep.
So, you know, it made sense. Yeah, one seed wins it, and there you go. And it never again. So Tennessee would be busting up that history. I know that I know Ben McKee had a good tweet about the history there too, which is, so they are, yeah, they're the first number one seed to even get to the finals since 2009.
Yeah.
Texas, which started 3-0 and then lost. They lost 2 out of 3. Also, Texas, the only other one, Texas in 2004, started 3-0, lost in the final series. Miami is the one that's been able to finish the job. So, that's what Vitello said going to the tournament. He's like, nah, we're the underdog. We're the one seed.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good try.
I thought that was a good try too. It's worked. They've played well in the College World Series here, and now both teams. I mean, you're off till Saturday, so both teams are kind of on the same kind of even playing field here. Are going to have their full bullpen, full lineup available to them and ready to go. So I'm really fascinated to see how this one plays out. Interested to see how Tennessee handles it from a pitching standpoint. Probably, as you pointed out earlier, going to go with the same sort of rotation that they've gone with here. But Tennessee with a chance to win a national title, a first major sport national title, which I guess we would include football, men's and women's basketball, and now baseball since 2008, I guess.
Yep.
Was that the 2008 season or the 2008 championship?
I believe it was 2007-08 season.
Yep.
Yes.
So the first time that they have a chance to win a national title since then.
Yeah, and the first, I think we agree, major championship in the state since Vanderbilt 5 years ago.
Yep.
In the same place. Vanderbilt played upstart Michigan, lost the first game. Then Kumar Rocker gets it done, and they win game three. So 5 years for this state for somebody to close the deal on something.
We going to see any weird stuff from Texas A&M Twitter this week?
Well, I don't.
There's some video clips floating around of, you know, they do that weird little, I guess the night before football game, they get up there and start hurling insults at the opposing team and fan base and all that stuff.
And then they do a little dance routine after a funny joke or something.
It's a strange place down there.
Yeah, I don't totally get that. Yeah, I saw some people, I guess. Yeah,
like I would have to think that was before a football game.
Yeah, that's not new. But, yeah, I don't know. Do they have any sort of presence for that? Is that a presence that's like in other sports in season at all? Or is that
the video was like some guy going through the history of smoking, like the first smoke he died trying to run away from Tennessee. Like, okay.
Yeah.
A&M's kind of a weird place.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
You know, Arkansas gets a lot of crap for the calling of the Hogs. I kind of enjoy the calling of the Hogs. Texas A&M just kind of weird. Like the Hogs, like calling the Hogs down there, yes, it's strange. As Tim Corbin said on our show one time, you know you're in a little bit of a different place in Arkansas when you know there's a grown man out there with a hog mask on. But it's kind of cool, like seeing them do that. I'm still waiting on that John Calipari video, by the way, of him calling the Hogs.
Yeah, he's not getting away with not doing
it. We're gonna have to get it at some point. A&M, there's some weird stuff going on down there.
Yeah, it's a little cultish. It feels a little cultish. I'm not going to lie. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what Aggie's Twitter is like, but good luck with Vol Twitter. That's all I have to say to you.
Vol Twitter's going to be on one this week.
And there's plenty of time to talk trash, too.
There's plenty of time.
You know, with the game not till Saturday night.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction to Tennessee in the College World Series final. What do you make of their chances to win against Texas A&M? What would a national title mean for Tennessee, this fan base, this program? Your thoughts on all that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Well, as of now, Tennessee is on their 10th Smokey. And as I was learning more about this Smokey of theirs, I found out that the first Smokey was tragically killed after being hit by a car while trying to escape. And after speaking to our very own Miss Reveille about this, she said that if she had had to be the mascot for Tennessee, she would have done the same thing.
Woo!
Now let's have ourselves a Fighting Texas Aggie Yale practice.
Woo!
I think Tennessee should be America's team in this this year competition coming up.
Yeah.
You can't allow Texas A&M to win anything doing stuff like that.
See, but that's what that's my question. If you're an Aggies fan or if you're familiar with this, is there any element of this? Like, will there? Because obviously, like, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, well, all other fans talk about the Whistler, right? Complain about the Whistler. Yes. Like, is there going to be any weirdness in the stands related to these goofballs?
Doing the midnight yell?
Yeah.
At the top of the stadium in Omaha? I don't know. I just know. Because
if so, then I think you're right. Then people have something tangible to be reminded of how cultish this whole thing is. And they cheer for the Vols.
The 10th Smokey.
9-minute run.
Thank you.
I was talking to our own teacher over here, and she said she'd leave too. Okay.
Yeah, somebody else got to write better jokes than that, man, or whatever that was.
Tennessee and Texas A&M coming up in the College World Series final here. You know, Tennessee, I threw this out there to you earlier, the lineup. Could this be the best lineup that we've seen in college baseball? They have now five players who have 20 home runs or more this season. Blake Burt hit an absolute bomb yesterday for his 20th. And, you know, you can go through clearly some lineups in college baseball that had superstars that went on to the next level and were superstars in Major League Baseball. And we'll see whether or not Tennessee has any of that moving forward here. But in terms of achievement, from a average standpoint, from a power-hitting standpoint, this lineup is up there with a lot of the really, really good lineups in the history of college baseball. And one of the things we talked about was when you got away from Lindsey Nelson Stadium, could you continue to hit the ball at a high level in Omaha? And they have clearly done that so far in Omaha. I mean, they've continued to just pick up basically where they left off and are mashing the ball left and right and scoring a lot of runs while doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they do play in a bit of a bandbox, but the power these guys have, you know, it's just fine in Omaha. They would have they'd be in great shape to get the record if they would have gotten here via the loser's bracket a little bit, you know. But as is, I promised earlier I was going to look that up, and I still haven't done it. I will before the show.
Okay.
Or I guess if somebody knows off the top of their head. I know they went in 173, the all-time record, 1997 LSU, 188. And I think they've hit about five, right?
That sounds right.
Right in that range. So, you know, if you have a three-game series here, could they possibly? I mean, the thing is, you know, Texas A&M has a legit ace, like a high-level, you know, guy who's going to be, an MLB pitcher in Ryan Prager.
Yeah.
9-1, 2.88 ERA, 2.16 average against, 118 strikeouts, 20 walks. Like, he's a big-time player. So, knowing that he'll be on the mound, you know, for one of these games – and, you know, Chris Cortez is also a really good pitcher. They're
good.
Super talented team.
By the way, Tennessee had 177 home runs entering yesterday. So how many did they hit yesterday?
So Burke hit one.
I have to go back and look.
There was at least one other one, right?
Yeah, I think so. So they're probably less than 10 back.
So if they're 9 back and you get 3 a game.
It's a lot.
And again, like with Prager, you know, you can get in the bullpen, you never know.
But that was according to Mike Wilson for the Knoxville News Sentinel, 177 entering yesterday. So there you go.
So,
which is the second in the NCAA, second most in NCAA history, as you pointed out.
So when you talk about all-time lineups.
They only hit one yesterday.
Burke's only
one. So they're 178, 10 back.
So they're 10 back, yeah. It's going to be a tough one to get to. But the all-time great lineup discussion, yeah, just about any team that's in that discussion has like, I mentioned Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro, you know, earlier, like Bo Jackson with Auburn or whatever. Like, you know, some of these best lineups of all time have like a great player. I don't know if anybody from this Tennessee team will be a great player. I will say, like, Christian Moore, not projected by everybody as a first round pick.
Is that because of defense?
Yeah, I think that's got to be part of it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
The guy hits to all fields with power. I mean, he is a professional hitter. If somebody gets him in the second round, nice work. I don't know. I don't buy it. We'll see. I mean, I say that, and I can't sit here and go through each prospect with you. I just know that guy is going to be a major league hitter. And I also, I mean, I think Dreiling, Amick, I mean, and Tears may have the highest ceiling of all these guys. He really might. I think he has a chance to be a special five-tool player, as they say.
Yeah. I've joined you in a mute
Thank
today.
1-1.
One.
Mute apiece.
Mute apiece. There we go. Yeah, I mean, look, the lineup is lethal. And you mentioned this, like, Tears, he might have more ability than all of them. Like, he's really good. You know, Vitello was going on yesterday in his little post-game press conference. You know, people have been asking me if Tears can play center field. Yes, he can. The answer is yes, he can. And you saw it today. I mean, it's – I want them to win because I think it would be great. I really want them to win because I want to see what Tony Vitello is like after they win a championship. It would be hilarious. Like, I can just see the press conference being awesome after they win.
Yeah.
The celebration.
Yeah.
And give me some more Tony V.
And it's like, what way would it go? Would he be like emotional guy role, or would he just be like,
would we have another 15-minute rant on whatever?
Tribute to Jordan Beck, double middles, you know? For like, I mean, I don't know.
You never know what that guy's going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is part of the folk hero that he's become up there in Knoxville.
Yeah, what did he had a reference this week that I was like, wow. What was it? Now it's eluding me, but I was like, how does that come up?
Yeah, I don't know. He's an interesting cat. Yeah. I mean, what did he say yesterday? He's like, our pitcher is one of the weirdest people I've ever been around. Maybe that's why we won the game today. It's like, okay. Thank you, Tony.
It was also a very cool story that he sent, like, the banners to the manager of Northern Kentucky. You see that? That's cool. See, there's a soft side to Tony Vitello,
there
too.
There is. I mean, and we talked about, you know, PK asked this question to Gentry a couple days ago about if they win, what does that do for Vitello? Like, with the fan base, I mean, I'm not going to say it does nothing because obviously winning a championship does something. But he's already beloved by the Tennessee fan base as much as I can remember a coach being, with the probable exception of Pat Summitt. Like, everybody loved Pat Summitt, obviously. But, like, Tennessee fans love Tony Vitello, obviously. But nationally, getting the job done and winning a national championship, what would that do for Vitello? I mean, look, SEC teams been winning national championships left and right in this thing. So you're, in some ways, kind of joining a club that a lot of your peers are already in around you. But when you factor in they've won more games than anybody in the last 4 years – they got a number one recruiting class coming in. If they win the national championship, that would mean they get to 60 wins this year, which is really difficult to do in college baseball. Like, you're talking about a pretty epic run that he's on right now.
No, absolutely. There's no doubt. And this basically means he's untouchable. If he, you know, I think he's unarrestable in at least in East Tennessee, maybe even in the mid-state.
Maybe.
If he wins it. Like, there's just nothing, you know, there's nothing you can take away from him. And look, I know that, like I saw, like, a TV reporter in Arkansas, like, what would you guys, she tweeted something like, would you guys, like, want them to hire, you know, if Coach Van Horn retired, would you like them to hire Tony Vitello? What do you think? You know, of course, Vols fans are like, what do you talk, like, you think you're, like, Bama football or something?
Yeah,
like, what?
Exactly.
But I think that I have no idea if there's a speck of truth or anything to, like, the whole Texas thing. That's been out there some. But I do think that there's certainly a possibility that someone throws a ridiculous amount of money at him in this sport. So, you know, that's something to look at, too. Gentry actually wrote a column about the villainous Vols and what it would mean. And so Kevin Skarbinski, he quoted Kevin Skarbinski for AL.com, said, quote, can you imagine how Tony Vitello's dudes with tudes will let loose if they win it all?
Mm.
But again, like, this team,
it's very, I mean, it's different. Like, they were talking about that on the broadcast yesterday. Like, when Tennessee won, the broadcaster's like, that's a pretty subdued reaction from Tennessee out there. And they eventually made the point, like, this is not the team from 2 years ago.
Exactly.
It's a little different.
It'll just be more goofy stuff with, like, Kirby and Xander Seacrest, those guys. What do you have there, Keezer?
So for the home runs, I even counted them up since the regionals started. So Tennessee overall, since that started, has 31 homers, and they have 5 home runs in Omaha. So I don't know if that's what you wanted, but that's what you got.
Yeah, that's a good stat. I mean, that kind of tells you. 3 wins, 5 homers. It's not – they're not – you know, because at Lindsey Nelson, they have – 3 and 4 and 5 homer games, but it's harder to do there. So they're probably going to end up a little bit short. I think they'll be okay if they win a national championship.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text line. More coming up next. Join us this July 4th at the 18th Annual Music City Hot Chicken Festival at East Park. It's a spectacular day packed with live music, contests, and, of course, hot chicken. It's free, so bring the entire family. You can learn more at hotchickenfestival.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join 1025 The Game and myself, Robbie Stanley, this Saturday from 10 to noon at the Coleman Tractor Company at 3613 Highway 31 West in White House for the Orange Days sales event. There will be free lunch from 11 to 1, catered by Tesha's, live music, driver ride demos, plus door prizes and a whole lot more. You can enter to win an Echo battery-powered weed trimmer kit as well. Plus, check out all the one-day deals, including 10% off on all parts department purchases. The event runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday. Coleman Tractor Company, 3613 Highway 31 West in White House. Looking forward to being out there on Saturday and looking forward to seeing you guys out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, how about this text? Really random here, but being a fairly long-time listener of your show while Keezer has been the producer, he seems like he's got that it factor when he's on air, more than a lot of sports talk producers that I regularly hear. What I'm trying to say is Keezer's trying to take your jobs. Keezer?
Who said that? We don't know?
A texter. I don't know. Is it your phone number?
I read it. I'll tell you.
I'm not
going to
read the phone number.
His phone number is.
Yeah.
I
you want the
myself.
Last four? 2916.
Yeah, that's not me.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. That was a little bit too convenient how surprised you acted by this text. Like, who said that?
Hey, I'll take it. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much.
We agree. He has the it factor.
He does.
Our producers have all had various it factors.
Various it factors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, no one could match Ryan Porath in his laugh.
Not one person. No.
Was that his laugh? Was that what it sounded
like?
It's hard to do it justice.
It's like a scream. Like,
it's like, you know, when, like, you know. You step on a hyena's foot.
No.
Jeez, really?
I can imagine. Yeah.
Basically what it was.
That's why he's the GOAT! The GOAT!
Keezer's got a drop for everything now.
I think it's just because of my drops, honestly.
Okay.
What was that drop from?
That's a meme with just an angry guy that was screaming a goat. It was an argument about LeBron.
Okay.
I don't even know when that was. I think it was a Vine a long time ago.
Vine.
Yeah, wow. Vine, yeah.
Jeez.
Do you remember Vine, Joe?
I mean, I
did you make Vines?
No, I didn't make Vines. But was that like an offshoot of MySpace?
No, it's
like Insta is Facebook.
No, it was basically TikTok.
Here's my
before
MySpace
that showed
profile.
Up. Yeah, Joe Dubin must have been all over that. I guess
you're in my top four friends.
Oh, yeah, take a shot at Big Joe.
I bet you.
I bet you Joe Dubin was all over MySpace. Actually,
I was. I loved some MySpace.
Did you
back in the day? Yeah, man.
Okay.
Is that how you got around our high school back in the day, Robbie, by talking to your buddies away from school with MySpace?
Yeah, we got on MySpace a lot.
What are you saying by get around?
Yeah,
what are you trying to say there, buddy?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you get around talking to people in their DMs.
Swipe left.
You know? Yeah, on this conversation, at least. Golly.
Anyway, we're just talking about your it factor, okay? Yeah.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
William from Dover says, I feel like Tony Vitello is what Lane Kiffin would have been had he stayed in Knoxville. That's an interesting comp.
That is interesting. That well, there are some parallels. And by that, I just mean, you know, like wild personality. I mean, you tell me. I feel like Lane probably – I mean, the way Lane came right out and took shots at Urban.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like he must have been pretty quickly embraced, right?
Offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
Also, everybody, you know, I think with Lane, probably some substance, but everybody's, oh, he's cheating this and that, you know, and all that stuff. And there's definitely a lot of, like, with Vitello, like, you know, the bat, what's going on with the bats, what's going on with this or that, you know, I mean, the throwing bags around. Of course, he brought that up in his soliloquy last week. So, yeah, that's an interesting. Now, the question I would have is, would Lane Kiffin have turned Tennessee football into something that's actually competing, like with Alabama.
That's the thing.
During the 2010s, you know, because that's what he would have had to do. I don't know about that. That's the thing. And that means, obviously, it's a different scale, too. And so.
Yeah. And look, his first year, I say his first year as if there was a second year for him in Tennessee. The year he was at Tennessee, they recruited well and they played, you know, they had Alabama beaten. And then they kicked the field goal directly into the armpit of Terrence Cody and lost.
Like, yeah, yeah.
He was, you know, I think they went 7-5 or whatever it was that year.
They had some impressive Saturdays.
They had some impressive Saturdays. Like, you could see it going. Like, he was building what was probably going to end up being a pretty good program until they would have gotten derailed for all the cheating that was apparently going on there.
Right,
so,
right.
I'm not sure how the staying power that Lane Kiffin would have had there. But, you know, in terms of personality,
yeah,
no, some similarities.
I like it. And then you got Coach O in there. Hey, come on, come to USC with us. Come on now. Let's go. Let's go to USC.
Not Coach O at Tennessee, not long enough. Could have had a little bit more Coach O at Tennessee.
Yeah. That's the thing. Vitello does not have a Coach O parallel that I know. I mean, you know, Frank Anderson is an entertaining guy in his own way, but. He's not Ed Orgeron.
There's got to be video somewhere. Like, you know, this was for the most part, pre social media. I mean, I think there was MySpace back then, so we had a little MySpace.
It was Facebook.
No video of Coach O singing Rocky Top or anything from his time at Tennessee. I mean, I feel like it's a huge missed opportunity.
God, there's got to be like somewhere in like the deep archives, right? Because I mean, teams also didn't have nearly like the production that they have now.
Yeah.
But there's got to be something. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
What's he up to?
I don't know. You never know what that guy's up to. Alex on the text line says, 1985 Mississippi State baseball team, easily the best team to never win the College World Series. Palmeiro, Clark, Bobby Thigpen, Jeff Brantley.
Yeah, I said Oklahoma State earlier, so I apologize. So thank you.
Somebody's getting after you on Twitter about
that. Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I deserve that. And I knew that. Someone remind me, Oklahoma State's had great teams and great players, but there was one player from Oklahoma State in particular that I was thinking of. But I knew that Palmeiro and Will Clark. I did not realize Bobby Thigpen was also on that team. My goodness. that is absurd.
That is absurd.
Someone's ripping me on Twitter?
They were, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't believe you said Oklahoma State.
Also, by the way, earlier I said, this is the time of the show we do our corrections for the day. I said, Keith called me out. I said Villanova was an 11 seed when they beat Georgetown. They were an 8.
So. Well, look, you're easing back into the show this week.
Yeah.
There's going to be some natural mistakes that get made.
Exactly. And but the point remains. The point remains. People said the tournament was way too big, and you know, you immediately have an 8 seed win it all.
You immediately have an 8 seed win it all. And, you know, the Vitello part of this, if they win, like, first off, Vanderbilt fans are going to be – they've got to just be cringing right now with the idea of Tennessee fans winning. The rest of the SEC – like, clearly 2 years ago, everybody in the league hated Tennessee and they hated Tony Vitello. I think they probably still feel that way about Vitello. Like, but, like, do other SEC teams outside of Vanderbilt, like, do they actually hate this Tennessee team? Or was that just a one-year thing? Do people still have lingering feelings from that team that they apply to this one? Like, is you know, we brought up the stupid Texas A&M video earlier of – whatever cheers they do. Like, is the rest of the SEC rooting for Texas A&M here?
I would be willing to bet that for the most part, yes, and I think it's Vitello. And I think Vitello rubs people the wrong way, and Tennessee fans love him. And so I think there will always be, as long as he's the coach, some level of, I just can't stand that guy,
right.
You know? I mean, it's kind of like, I guess you could, like we've talked before about the punchable faces. Like Will Levis, for example, if he's really good, he will be a very hated player around the NFL.
Yes.
Right? Because of how – and I'm not saying they're not similar personalities at all, but, like, just Vitello's
aura
presence is very much part of that. But, like, I think what we've learned is that the 2022 team – because I thought it was a little bit more of, like, it took on his personality. What we've learned is, there were a couple kids on that team that just were – like, and he called them maniacs several times,
yeah,
he wasn't kidding. It was just like, sometimes you can't control these guys, you know? And so that's why it was so satisfying for people that they lost, obviously, in the Super Regional. yeah, Vanderbilt fans, obviously, like, you can't say, oh, you know, can't win an Omaha. Like you're down to, please just don't let them win a national championship.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then if they do, the sniping back and forth between Vol Twitter and Vandy baseball Twitter is going to be epic.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that more than the series. I really am.
Yeah,
then like, I'm excited about the series, but nothing – I'm not going to say nothing fires me up like Tennessee Vanderbilt baseball Twitter, but it's been a lot of fun to watch.
It's good, yeah. Yeah, call us when you have two natties, losers.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away. A four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam coming up Saturday at 6 o'clock. Nissan Stadium. Be caller 3. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win. A four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday. 615-737-1025. We are live here today from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Joe on the text line, not Rex Road, says, coming from a Kentucky fan, I can't stand Vitello, but I'd gladly have him come coach for us. Kind of like Bruce Pearl. I hated him, but wouldn't have been mad if he ended up being our next coach. You love him when you have him. You hate him when you don't. That's from Joe on the text line.
Yep. I'm sure Arkansas fans hated Cal. And now, yeah. I guess they're excited. You got a pretty good squad next year.
Yeah.
Looks like, on paper.
I got a texter that says, the 2020/2021 Vandy baseball team was loaded. There very well could be a third natty if that season was not canceled. In the words of Kanye West, I guess we'll never know. There you go. That team was going to be pretty darn good.
No question. I mean, obviously you get the two guys, at the top of rotation. So and the 20,
then they made it to the final series the next year.
Yeah. So just to be clear, this says 2020-2021.
Yeah, it would have been 2020.
Yeah, just 2020 season. 2021 team makes it all the way to the last game. Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. They were loaded up to be a little bit of a dynastic run. I mean, it's still basically in consecutive seasons, right? You won it, and then you got to the last game.
Yep.
And then you erased that middle season that could have been very special, no doubt.
Yep. I mean, it's a good time around here to be a college baseball fan. If you have no dog in the fight, if you just watch Tennessee and Vanderbilt. I don't know how many of those people actually exist of no dog in the fight of college baseball, but pretty good college baseball around here over the last 5 years.
Well, and we have a Kentucky fan, and we have a fair amount of Kentucky fans who listen to the show.
Yep.
I've never really paid any mind to Kentucky in baseball, and they just got to Omaha, and looks like their fan base really enjoyed it out there. I know someone on the text line calling, C from Franklin calling Nick Shell. Producer Nick Shell, which I like a lot. But Michelle Perry. Wait, what's their coach's name? The coach now? BYU Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing you can really do with that one. But she enjoyed herself out there. But, yeah, I mean, like every program. I mean, Georgia this year is good. And that's a team, a program that typically doesn't do a lot. The Mississippi schools have kind of been down a little bit, but they've had great runs. Like everyone in this conference can be good in that sport, and I don't know that you can say that about any other sport. That you have had like high level success across the league.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out if Tennessee can pull it off, and then if they do, I mean, Ole Miss has won a national title. Mississippi State has won a national title. LSU won one last year. Vanderbilt, I mean, it's a heck of a run. I mean, really, this run began a while ago. Like, it's been a run for a long time in the SEC right now. But Tennessee would kind of join that crew if they're able to finish this off and win the national championship. Joe, other news yesterday on the goalie front. Jacob Markstrom traded from the Calgary Flames to the New Jersey Devils. So, in exchange, the Flames, number one, retain some salary on the Jacob Markstrom contract, which has 2 years left. They get a first-round pick back, the Flames do, that is top 10 protected in 2025. And they give away a young average defenseman. So not a huge return for Calgary on the Markstrom front. And you can take a potential team that if the Predators did decide to trade UC Saros off the list now with the New Jersey Devils adding Jacob Markstrom yesterday. Interesting deal yesterday for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, and they retain more than 30% of the salary.
Not great GMing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way. I don't totally get that from their perspective. I think this kind of told you. I thought when New Jersey wanted it out there, you know, that number 10 this year was that they're interested in a goalie and number 10 could be involved. That I thought that meant, okay, so the Saros stuff is dead, which
turns out it was.
Turns out it was. Or, well, it just didn't rise to the level of this thing. So, and look, maybe Trotz is right now just like, hey, the focus is on signing him. The focus is on signing him, yeah. And got to get that done, and then you worry about Askarov later.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of sounds like it is going to be the focus here, and we'll see whether or not they're able to come to a deal. I mean, I said this earlier, things are going to start happening pretty quickly here, right? I mean, there's some trades. There's another trade yesterday. Pierre-Luc Dubois gets traded from L.A. to Washington straight up for Darcy Kemper, which was weird. Weird trade there. Ty DeLandria got traded from Dallas. So there are some trades starting to cycle through here. The Cup Final is going to be done either Friday night or next Monday. So right after that, I mean, we're a week and a day away from the draft. So the draft is at the Sphere, which I'm sure there will be next Friday plenty of Nashville Predators showing up at the Sphere jokes that we can revisit.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that happening. So right after the Cup Final, I mean, it's right into it. You go draft, free agency, right back to back. I think you're going to see a lot of moves coming up. I'm interested to see what happens with Natchez. Could there be another couple of moves out there? And then who actually makes it to free agency? Now, look, you know, Stamkos isn't signed yet. I think he's going to sign in Tampa, but he's not signed yet. Reinhardt, they got to finish their series, and then we'll see what happens there. But there are a couple of big fish that until they are signed, if I'm the Predators, I'm at least keeping an eye on to see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, the Stamkos, as we've talked about, like that would be shocking,
yes,
to me if the plan is not. I mean, they're
Ryan running, McDonough, they're welcome back. Steven, yeah. We'll see you.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I just, yeah, Reinhardt, they've got to, like, it's got, they both sides have got to want that to continue, right?
Yes, although I will say he's not played as well in the playoff in the Cup Final as I thought he would. He's a good player. He's fine, but he's not played as well in the Cup Finals as I thought he would. They're going to have to lose. They're going to lose somebody. It's probably going to end up being like Montour, but they're going to lose somebody coming up here.
And that could be. I think certainly a much more, I think, more realistic possibilities to is that Montour could beef up the decor.
Yeah, and I do think whether it's him or not, the Predators are going to target one or two guys on defense. Everybody's going to hone in on forward, and I get it. Like, you know, I think they should target a couple of guys there too. But I think with McDonough gone, there's a pretty glaring hole. Like, somebody's got to play with Josi. I don't think it should be Fabbro. You know, they played them together. When Fabbro played last year, which was not overly often, he played basically with Josi. And then situationally throughout the game, they'd move McDonough up and they'd kind of shift Fabbro around. To me, you got to find somebody to play with Josi if you're – and it doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to pay a ton of money in order to do it. Like, I think you could get Brett Pesce for a reasonable contract, and he's a nice stay-at-home guy that doesn't bring a ton of offense to the table, but you could plug him right in with Josi, and he could play with Josi today, and you've got that figured out.
That, to me, would be – that'd be a really, really good addition. That would be strong.
I agree. And so, you know, the forward part of it's going to get a lot of attention. I'm interested to see who they add – on defense, could they enter into some trade conversations here? You know, whether that's Natchez, I don't think the Marner thing is going to happen this offseason. I think they're going to wait and see kind of what goes down
and then deadline
with Berube,
possibly.
And then maybe deadline or moving into next year. I mean, the part in all this is like he's got a. and Friedman was talking about this last week on 32 Thoughts. He's got a no movement clause, and if you're him, like, there's really no reason for you to waive it. Like, you got free agency coming up in a year, unless you are just fed up with how toxic it is there, which maybe he is. There's not a ton of reason.
Yeah, or if you're him, or the whatever the option is really attractive.
Yeah,
to you.
I mean, yeah.
That, you know,
could be.
It could be that, but yeah, I think that was the thing. It's like, I think it was Alex Doherty, right, who asked Trotz about
Marner.
About Marner, right?
Yeah.
I think the reaction was like, wait a minute. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, but like, there was like a little bit, I think the reaction may have been kind of like, oh my gosh, no. Yeah. I could be wrong. You know, like, Marner?
Oh, look, no. I'll be honest. Like, he doesn't, on the surface, he doesn't seem like a Barry Trotz type player.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's not, but he just doesn't on the surface.
Is he a serial winner? He's a.
Oh, well, no, he is not.
I mean, he's done a lot of winning in the regular season.
Yes.
And compiling stats.
Yes.
But there's going to be something. There's going to be some. I mean, I think even potentially from the Preds,
yep.
a big move that we don't see right now.
I'm excited about
foresee.
It. We're getting close to that time of year.
615 open
day.
You on the golf course.
Going to go smash some golf balls later. That does it for us today. You can hear Joe later this afternoon from 1 to 3 with Kuharski. Make sure you tune in for that. Jason Big Joe
Boomer
coming
hour.
Up next. 102.5, 106.3, the game.